The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by Arts Development, Bahamas First, General Insurance Company, Battery and Tire Specialist, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Lowe's Wholesale, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, New Life, Original Patties, Percy's Island Games, Perfect Paint, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, Thompson Trading, The Rec Center, and Wendy's.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. If you want to call us from the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720 or you can text us today on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969, or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. I hope y'all are doing great today. Today, the House dissolves, meaning that parliament has been declared vacant. The House of Assembly has no members of parliament. And so there's no MP who should be driving around with no MP place. At least once the dissolution happens, there's ain't no MP. They're all private citizens, candidates, those who are running again. So the House dissolves, no House of Assembly. That's why you go into election, because you're going to fill vacant seats. You don't have to fill things that aren't vacant. So since the seats are now declared vacant, once that happens, then you can have elections. And so that's where we are getting to. And May 12th, we will be polled. You all realize that it's a poll, right? That's what's happening. It's just like any other poll. You go and you poll the population of voters. It's not the entire Bahamian population. It's just the registered voters. And those who go to vote, they participate in the poll. And if the poll says a majority of people in this constituency wants the PLP or the FNM or the COI or an independent candidate or another party, then that's what has to be returned to the Governor General once the official count is made and certified. So are the official results of a poll taken. And in our process, if 10 of y'all go out to vote, of the 200,000, it don't make no difference. If the majority of people of the 10 go and vote, then for this one or that one and the next one, that's how the results go. Our Constitution does not require that a majority of registered voters go and vote, does not require that a majority of eligible voters go and vote. It just requires that the first past the poll gets in. So however the number is, that's what the number is, right? So people who actually do not go out to vote are affecting the vote by not going out to vote. Now, that might be their choice, and so that's not a problem. I'm just telling them that that is what they are doing. They are affecting the vote by not going out to vote. So whether you vote or don't vote, you are affecting the outcome. So you, just because you get to sit down and say, I didn't go, I didn't vote, so I didn't choose. Yes, you did participate and help choose what you chose, because had you voted, it could have gone differently. So since you didn't vote, your voting, your non-voting, has contributed to the results. That's how that goes. I want to highlight a couple of things I've seen in the press today. In particular, about a story carried in the Guardian, Nassau Guardian, about the no bid contracts issued by the Davis administration since it came to office. Substantial numbers and amounts of no bid contracts. But before we get to that as a particular issue, let's talk about the process. Okay, so when I was in the cabinet, the way it worked was that if the ministry, and remember, these contracts are always being done in a ministry, okay? In the case of a government corporation, it would be the corporation. So if the ministry decided that it wanted to do X, Y, or Z. And very often what that means is the minister, very often, not always, but the minister decided that we want to pursue this. He or she is the policy directorate. So in pursuit of government policy, he or she may determine that this program and or project or this product or this service needs to be acquired by or pursued by the ministry. Now, when I was in office, if the cost of that was below $50,000, the ministry could decide on it. Of course, you would have, in some most instances, two or three bids submitted, and you would choose from among them. In other instances, you know, the minister and them might make judgments and decide to award it to homeboy or homegirl. But once it's under for $50,000, you could do that. If it was over $50,000, it had to go to the procurement committee. Now, when I was there, the procurement committee was the cabinet. So it went to the cabinet to decide. And the cabinet then could make a determination on reality is that sometimes ministries might have a project that was more than and what they would do is, rather than award it as one single thing, they would split up the contract and award it in pieces so that they felt the committee. They get away with that with some things that fell within a certain range on the margin of $50,000. But if you had a, is that on my side or your side? I don't have any issues on my side. All right, let's take a break, producer, and let's see if we could resolve this, because I don't want to keep speaking if we're in. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold with Star General. Insurance made simple.
New roads and airports are connecting our islands. Energy reform is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. Respect for workers. Support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
Did you know that Valvoline's Max Life not only protects against friction, but also leaks, deposits, and sludge? The four major causes of high mileage engine breakdown. Long live your car! Max Life is the first lubricant specially formulated to protect the engine of your high mileage vehicle. Visit us today and see our full line of Valvoline lubricants, chemicals, and antifreeze coolants distributed by Battery and Tire Specialists, located 7th Terrace, Centerville.
Man, that's a solid Dickie suit set, eh?
Yeah. The white center got them in long and short pants. And they got shirts and polos in all colors for the guys and the stylish ladies' outfits fast.
I like in there. My husband is getting all the uniform for his staff from there.
Their staff good, too. Helpful, you know. Everyone knows Dickie's clothes strong. They durable and it's wear well.
The Work Center on Rosetta Street from Roberts Furniture, your leading distributor of Dickie's workwear.
With Lysol, you can disinfect all surfaces inside and outside your home. When used as directed, Lysol eliminates 99.9% of bacteria, fungus, and viruses. Maintain a healthy home by preventing sickness and keeping infections under control. Clean your surfaces, disinfect them. Lysol does more for you and your family. That's our mission for health. Distributed by Thompson Trading Company.
Up the paint on my house, got a boat, now I gotta go all over the place looking for tins. can have Albert Perfect Painting. That's your one-stop shop. They got paint for boat, house, car. You ain't know.
All in one place?
All in one place. Number 102 Wolf Road, opposite Pairdale. Or call them 323-7821.
Ooh.
Man, they got high and low-end paint and a good prices. So don't let them be running with special.
Really?
Paint supplies. Perfect Paint is the perfect choice. And you know how to say and go.
Yeah. Perfect Paint.
We are more than just paint.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you're doing well. I hope we are good now. I hope you can hear me now. I hope we're good. I'm not in and out. I hope. I think that's what the producer told me. As I want to make sure you can hear me, okay? So, producer, we good, right? We good? Just making sure. One more time, we good? Yeah. Okay. So, what I was explaining, I hope, I don't know how far I got, but let me do it because it's important. So, in the Guardian today, you see a story about the multiple substantial non-bid contracts awarded by the Davis administration. Whether the Davis administration wants to concede it or not, it has a transparency problem. It has an accountability problem. There is a large segment of the population that does not believe that it has been a transparent or accountable administration. And some of it has had to do with the is no bid contracts. Some of it has had to do with the public-private partnership. Some of it has had to do with the fact that you can't see the heads of agreement for the Alukaya property. You can't. It took a long time to get the agreements related to the energy reform, and the list can go on. There are others. The list can go on. So before we get to the actual contracts themselves, I wanted to explain the process to you. And I was starting to explain that process by indicating when I was in cabinet, the limit on what a ministry, so all contracts originate in ministries or in government agencies, enterprises like BPL or that kind of stuff, right? Because those are now captured by the Procurement Act. So that's why I mentioned them. Back in the day, they were not, okay? But when I was in cabinet, if a ministry wanted to pursue a project, a program, a purchase of a product or service, meaning the minister agreed, we want to do this. Sometimes it originated, many times, depending on the nature of it, it originated. If it was over $50,000, then it would go to the cabinet. It had to go to the cabinet. There was no procurement committee in between. The procurement committee was the cabinet. Okay? That was when I was in office. I was in office last in 2012. Okay? Between 2007-2012. And that certainly was the case when I first became a cabinet minister in 1997. just in case it was modified and my memory failing me. Now I am advised that ministries can approve themselves, deal with themselves, projects, programs, bids that are $400,000 or less. $400,000 or less, okay? And anything between $400,000
with Lysol, you can disinfect all surfaces inside and outside your home. When used as directed, Lysol eliminates 99.9% of bugs and viruses. Maintain a healthy home by preventing sickness and keeping infections under control. Don't just clean your surfaces, disinfect them. Lysol does more for you and your family. That's our mission for health. Distributed by Thompson Trading Company.
Man, that's a solid Dickie suit set, eh?
Yeah, the wife said I got them in long and short pants. And they got shirts and polos in all colors for the guys and the stylish ladies' outfits for us.
I like him there. My husband is get all the uniform for his staff from them.
Their staff good, too. Helpful, you know. Everyone knows Dickie's clothes strong, they durable and his wear well.
The Work Center on Rosetta Street, across from Roberts Furniture, your leading distributor of Dickie's workwear.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hey, Nassau, get ready for the new and bold Barbecue Crispy King at Burger King. Two 100% flame-grilled patties stacked with that irresistible onion crunch you love. Smoky barbecue sauce, crisp bacon, and melted cheddar all on a buttery brioche bun. Mmm. Crunch, bacon, cheese, flame-grilled flavor. Swing by any of Burger King's 6 Nassau locations and taste the new Barbecue Crispy King today. Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Sea Live. I'm Chavago Lane, your host, the Soap Donuts, here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon where we have the technical difficulties. Some people say the devil. It's technical difficulty, but we can get through this today. But this is necessary to get through the day. So let me give you. Again, I'm going to say, because I understand I'm a little low in accounting of what happens today insofar as procurement is concerned. If a ministry decides it wants to pursue a project, a program, a product, or a service, and that project, program, product, or service is going to cost under $400,000, then it can deal with that itself. It can make judgments on, okay, we got 3 bids in, we got 2 bids in, we decide we go with this person. If it decides it only wants to go and ask one person to do it, it can do that. It could do that. It could do a direct award of a contract.
if the contract is over $400,000, it has to go to the procurement committee. Okay? And that is constituted by civil servants from various ministries that will look at these matters. That's not as in days past. That's not the cabinet of the Bahamas. That's not the cabinet of the Bahamas. Am I still having? Are you still having challenges listening and following me, folks? Because I'm getting someone saying that they still are. I'm not on internet now, so it shouldn't be an issue. Am I still having issues? Please let me know, because I don't want to continue if we're not having quality sound. Please let me know, producer, so we can decide what to do, because this is important stuff. I don't want to have people are able to hear it, and I don't need to have people saying to me it's a problem. Maybe it's not all everywhere, maybe it's just them. So if you're listening, and if I'm still in and out, if it's still not good quality, please let me know before we continue. Please. All right? Anybody? Hi, producer, let me know, please. I'm good. The producer says I'm good. All right? I can't do more than if the producer says I'm good. All right? And the others are telling me they can hear me. I'm good. Thank you very much. Okay. So if it's between $400,000 and $2.5 million, it goes to the procurement committee. Today, there's a procurement committee in law that deals with that matter, and constituted by civil servants who are in the Ministry of Finance and elsewhere who will look at these things, right? When I was in cabinet, the cabinet was the procurement committee. And anything that was over $50,000 came to the cabinet, anything. That was back then. Now, anything between $400,000 and $2.5 million will go to the procurement committee. Anything above $2.5 million will go through the procurement committee to the cabinet. So the procurement committee for anything above $2.5 million would look at the matter before it proceeds to the cabinet. Okay? So if you're looking at a contract and you see a direct award of the contract, and that contract is under $400,000, well, that's at the ministry. And so between the minister and the permanent secretary, because the permanent secretary is the chief financial officer of the ministry by law, and the minister is the political directorate. So be sure of this, okay? Be sure of this. There is no contract going out of the ministry that the minister has not agreed. There's no contract going to the procurement committee that the minister hasn't agreed. There's no contract going to the cabinet that the minister hasn't agreed to proceed to the procurement committee and then to the cabinet. So ultimately, these contracts rest with the cabinet. I mean, the minister. The minister, right? Ultimately, and under the ministry contract. And then on top of that, the penultimate responsibility rests with the cabinet. So if you see any contract awarded under $400,000, well, that's the minister. That's the minister make that judgment, right? Whether it was competitive bid or a direct award, that's the minister. If it is between $400,000 and $2.5 million, it's the minister's direction, but the procurement committee is deciding on it, deciding that, okay, you want it by direct award, you want it by competitive bidding, ultimately we're going to have to stay in the matter, and whatever the determination is, the procurement committee says, okay, fine, go ahead, move it forward. If it's above $2.5 million, it's going to the government. Now, Let me give you all the unsanitized version of the politics of the Bahamas. And it don't make no sense. anyone out there trying to blame bureaucrats, technicians, and civil servants for any award of any contract in the Bahamas. The award of contract in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is on politicians. And let me tell you why. Because politicians are not going to miss an opportunity to direct how monies are awarded in terms of any contract, because in that, there is some political patronage to be had. Let's be clear on that. I'm not talking about corruption. I'm not talking about taking any money under the table. I'm talking about the ability to say, Charlie is a good supporter. Sharon is a good supporter. They've been working with us for a long time. They do this kind of business. Maybe sometimes, and I don't want anybody to get mad at me, maybe sometimes they don't do that kind of business. But they know some people who do that kind of business, and they can them can do the business, and we will give it to them. So politicians aren't going to miss an opportunity to try and affect, influence the award of a contract. And so it don't make no sense for people to be running around blaming civil servants for water contracts. Contracts are awarded by the government of the Bahamas, meaning by the executives of the Bahamas, meaning by cabinet ministers in singularly or as a group. And if they awarded singularly and the cabinet didn't approve, the cabinet should have done something about it. So if the cabinet doesn't do anything about it, then the cabinet agreed it, however it turned out. So you got a $183 million contract awarded that wasn't by competitive bidding. That's on the cabinet of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, starting with the Prime Minister and Minister Bernard. Serious. I'm not saying it's not justified, etc. But if you see that award, you know where the responsibility lies for that awarding. It's the Prime Minister, his cabinet, period. Okay? Now, we have laws now that govern procurement in the Bahamas. It was not always the case that we had the kind of clear laws to govern procurement. To be clear, that process started under Hubert Alexander Ingram. All right? To be sure. Let me be clear with yourself. Under Hubert Alexander Ingram, when Trivago Lang was Minister of State in the Ministry of Finance, amendments to the Financial Administration and Audit Act, preparation of these kinds of procurement legislation and fiscal responsibility legislation began with help of IDB and them, right? It continued with the Christie administration and then into administrations after that. Under the Minister administration, I think they matured those fiscal pieces of legislation. And that's what now prevails. Under that legislation, important part, and this is part of the situation that I find somewhat odd, that it isn't more aggressively pursued among the media. I am surprised, quite frankly, that direct awards, meaning awards without competitive bidding. Why do we go to competitive bidding? Because it's supposed to be the best mechanism for attempting to ensure that the citizens of the Bahamas get the best quality service or product for their monies on a cost-effective basis. Now, competitive bidding doesn't mean you go with the cheapest person. That's ridiculous. Even in your private life, you don't get that. You don't just go with it, because sometimes cheap means you can get exactly what you pay for. What competitive bidding means is I have multiple people trying to get this contract from me, so chances are they will try to ensure that they come in at a pricing that makes them competitive and also provide the kind of information that says, I am capable of delivering this service to or product to you. And if you have multiple people doing that and they ain't colluding and they don't have no minister or technician or civil servant sharing information, then on the basis of that asymmetry of information, they are about the business of trying to make sure they come in at the best pricing with the best delivery of proposal for the delivery of the service. That's why you do competitive bidding. It was never intended in a fiscally responsible in a procurement best practice environment. Never intended that the majority of your award be by direct award. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I don't know that the majority of the awards awarded by the Davis administration have been direct awards. I do not know that. But I'm saying to you, if the majority of your awards are by direct awards and you have a procurement system intended to deliver up to you best practice, something is wrong. I didn't say illegal, you know. I didn't say illegal. I said wrong. Now, here is where, when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you where you can get rid of the wrong, or you can understand that it wasn't wrong when we come back from the break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after the news break. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Everybody, come take my hand.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Hey, Nassau, get ready for the new and bold Barbecue Crispy King at Burger King. 2 100% flame-grilled patties stacked with that irresistible onion crunch you love, smoky barbecue sauce, crisp bacon, and melted cheddar, all on a buttery brioche bun. Mmm. Crunch, bacon, cheese, flame-grilled flavor. Swing by any of Burger King's 6 Nassau locations and taste the new Barbecue Crispy King today. Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message.
All right, now the last people supposed to answer this, either their brain was frizz or a couple of screws was loose.
Not me, bro. I sharp. I get this.
Yeah, you sharp as a button, man.
All right, I can see just how sharp y'all is, because you skip a button on your shirt. Well, anyhow. All right, question is, It doesn't rust. No corrosion. It's lighter than its opponent. What is it?
I know this. I know, but it's steel?
Nope. Wrong answer. Fiberglass rebar. You're not even sharp.
I'm going to say that, no.
You don't even know what that means.
All right, here's what makes fiber rebar a no-brainer. It don't rust. Steel rebar does rust and crack up your wall like biscuit. Two, fiber rebar is lighter than steel. Steel rebar is way more heavier, so that means it costs you more money and labor. And three, coated steel is more expensive than fiber rebar. And with cheap steel, you still have to paint it. Still costs you money. For more information, call Art Heavy Equipment and Development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Fiber rebar is better than steel.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call us, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking about the award of contracts. As you see in the Nassau Guardian today, a story by Candia Dames, speaking about the multiple and significant award of contracts on a direct basis, meaning there was no competitive bidding, meaning there were not multiple people making submissions to provide that service or product. The government went to a single vendor and directly awarded it to that vendor. And these awards could go up to $100 million, $183 million and so. And as I said before we took the break, it was never intended. Never, ever, ever intended. No one can come to me and tell me that it was ever intended that a government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas would award most of the contracts that they have by direct award, meaning not non-competitive bidding. My understanding is from my colleague that the confirmation was most of the awards under the Davis administration have been awarded by direct award. That's my understanding. Okay? No one can that was ever intended by the drafters of the law. Direct awards are supposed to be under special circumstances, and those circumstances are delineated, are laid out in the law. And when you do provide a direct award, you're supposed to provide a justification. Now, here's a critical question. Provide a justification to whom? If you're the ministry and you could award a contract for $400,000 or less without going to the procurement committee, if you go by direct award, to whom do you make the justification? Well, who's making the decision on that award? It could only be the minister and the permanent secretary, and ultimately it's the minister. And so the minister is making the justification to who? Presumably to the permanent secretary, who's the chief financial officer, so that the permanent secretary could say, okay, yeah, well, we are agreeing that this is necessary to be awarded by direct award. So when will the public see that? If somebody ends up looking at the files and wants to share that information, you might see it, right? Or is it supposed to be published somewhere? What about the procurement committee? If it, between $400,000 and $2.5 million, makes a direct award, who does the justification go to? Well, to the board, I assume, presumably to the procurement board. The justification is to the board. The ministry is making justification to the board, and then the board makes a decision on the justification. When does the public get to see that? Presumably, it's published somewhere. The contract is audited. somebody says this was done by direct award because that's X, Y, and Z, presumably. Okay? If it goes to the cabinet, because it's over $2.5 million, and the cabinet makes a decision of a direct award, who does the cabinet make that justification? Who does the cabinet make that justification to? The cabinet has one boss. The parliament. Whose boss is the people of the Bahamas? So the parliament of the Bahamas, according to the constitution of the Bahamas, is accountable to the parliament. So presumably, a public accounts committee could say to the government, you awarded a $183 million contract by direct award to so-and-so. What was the justification? A responsible, accountable, and transparent government would say to the Public Accounts Committee, yes, we did, and this is the reason we did it. And it is consistent with the reasons allowable under the law. Have you known that to happen? I don't know. I'm saying what the process, right? Why does the law require a justification? Think about that for a moment, people. Why does the law, why did lawmakers in the Bahamas, and those of you who are cabinet, who are candidates, learn what it is you are applying for here? I really, honestly, I know the politics of life. I really don't care. All this talk about you going to go do this in the constituency and do that in the constituency as if you are some local government agent is not the job of a member of parliament. It's something a member of parliament can do, facilitate, support, help, but a member of parliament is a lawmaker, as is a senator. They are lawmakers. Lawmakers. Go read the Constitution if you don't know. I'm talking to all of your candidates. Ask you what the job of the member of parliament is, and you can't tell them. And if you all keep doing it, I'm going to call your name and call you out because it didn't make no sense. Running for a job, you do not know what the job is. Because if you know that the job is to be a lawmaker, you will pay attention to the law. You will pay attention. You will stop fumbling when it comes to what the law says about a thing you are complaining about. And the law, why does the law require a justification? Think about that. The lawmakers determine. You cannot issue a direct award without justification because direct awards are supposed to be exceptions to the rule, not the rule. The rule is supposed to be competitive bidding. The rule is supposed to be competitive bidding. The rule is supposed to be competitive bidding, not direct award. And so if you're going to do a direct award, you have to justify it. You don't need to have a justification for competitive bidding, you know. Why? Because competition. You have to have a justification for direct award, for avoiding having other citizens of the Bahamas or having other entities in the world capable of providing a service or product do so. You have to have justification for not permitting them to do so. Why Charlie getting it? Why did Jack and Jill and Jean not have an opportunity to do it? Why you decided that these citizens of the Bahamas with capability cannot do it, should not have an opportunity to do it? The law says, I need you to justify that. But it would be interesting to do an audit of these awards and their justification. It's not, and so let me be clear with you, because I read where the chief procurement officer, Mr. Oliver, said that it's not nothing that was illegal. And I agree with them. Not illegal. I agree. Save in and accept if no justification was provided, that would be illegal because the law requires a justification. Now, the law doesn't say that the law describes the the grounds on which a justification could be provided. And very often the law can be very liberally interpreted, and people could use that liberal interpretation and go off the plantation, doing whatever they want. But the spirit of the law is not that. The spirit of the law is, do the thing that gives the public the best opportunity to get the best product, service for the best pricing. That's the spirit of the law. And that's what leadership wants. Leaders want the best practice. Politicians want the best patronage. You want me to say it again? Let me say it again for you. Leaders want the best practice. Politicians, thinking about themselves and the short-termness of their own aspirations, tend to want the best patronage. The best patronage isn't often the thing that delivers for the public the way it should. It's best practice that does that. Now, what is the nature of all of these awards? And I wouldn't have a difficulty if we could have a process that went as far back as we wanted, to the days of Ingram, to the days of Pinlan. And look at all of these awards. I have no doubt you would see percentages of them representing direct awards in every administration, percentages of them. I suspect that in the Minnis administration, a substantial number of them may have been direct awards, especially under the conditions of the pandemic. But majority, we should not be in a Bahamas tolerating that. Very special set of circumstances. I would say global distress, global economic upheaval, global disease spread and them kind of things that really make it more difficult to do anything other than direct awards for you to say that direct awards should be the normal rules of issuing awards. And so unless somebody comes to me and says, okay, well, let me tell you about these 20 awards. Here are the justifications. If that doesn't happen, that's disappointing. That's unacceptable. I don't care who the government is. FNM, PLP, COI, DDD, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's unacceptable that you can have a scenario in which most of your awards are direct awards, especially if there isn't a transparent provision of justification to the public. Let me tell you something. I've said this to y'all before. I don't know how many times to say it, keep saying it, but I'm going to keep saying it anyways, right? The great danger in the Bahamas is not electing the FNM or the PLP or the COI. That's not the great danger in the Bahamas. The great danger in the Bahamas is a sustained, cynical, pessimistic, uninvolved public of the Bahamas, because they have decided that these folks are not interested in good governing. That's the most dangerous situation for the Bahamas. A disengaged public, a public that has signed out, a public that has decided, listen, man, it don't make no difference what you do in this country, because people do whatever the hell they want. They do it however they want. It don't make no difference what the law says. And even if they could skirt the law, they'll skirt the law. It don't make no difference. But when that public starts to check out, you have the same thing you have when you have a marriage in which one of the partners have checked out. Same thing, where one or both partners have checked out. What you get is now free fall, every man do whatever they want, and the environment becomes toxic and incapable of sustaining happiness, joy, pride, and the like. And you could argue about who checked out first and why they check out. At the end of the day, what matters is they checked out. I can tell you what happens when people check out, though. There's no communication. There's no transparency. There's no accountability. People feel like they have no control. People feel like they have no value. People feel like they have no sense of trust. You know, let me say it again. Now, I'm saying the same thing that happens in relationships. Same thing. There's an expert on relationship. She said, you see people rowing all the time in relationships. They really, no matter how many issues arise, they really only rowing about three things. They are rowing about power, who has the control. They are rowing about trust, can I rely on you? And they are rowing about value. Do you value me to me? That's what they row about. No different in politics. Bahamians want to know that they have some control in their own country about what goes on beyond even election. And the bulk of that control they get by virtue of the laws that are put in place that they support as having given them control and check over the people to whom they give power. People of the Bahamas want to know they can trust the people to whom they gave power, meaning they can rely upon them to do what is in the people's interest and not in their own interest. And they want to know these people value me. They value me enough to look out for my interest above their own, above their friends' own, above their associates' own, above their political financiers' own. That's what they want to know. And if we can't get that, we're going to see more and more occasions on which the public checks out. And you have this broken relationship, this separation, and eventually the varieties where 20, 30% of people showing up to the polls and telling you all the hell with it because they don't make no difference what I do. And in that situation, you don't get the best governor. I don't care who gets elected. If 20% or 30% of people showing up to the polls to elect people, you do not get the best outcome because you don't have multiple minds, more and more minds participating in the selection of your results. And that could only hurt you, not help you. So there's no happiness to be found in the disclosures we had and saw in the newspaper report. There's no happiness there. There's need for explanation. And one of the things that troubles me in the Bahamas, it just troubles me in the Bahamas, and this doesn't just start with the Davis administration. I can tell you one thing. Get mad at me if you want. Tell me, are you biased if you want. Ingram was less like this than anybody I know. Less like this. Is far too often, we must believe that they owe no response, owe no explanation, owe no fulsome explanation to the public for their own business. One man would say, he can't hunger eat Kong salad or boiled fish or stew fish. Another man don't say nothing. Just don't say nothing. Just blame other people. That's not good for the Bahamas. That's not good. That's not going to get us where we need to be. I'm sorry. It's not. I want y'all to know, let me tell y'all something. Every day I'm on this show, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that on the basis of some of the things I say, I may put myself at risk. I have no doubt about that. Maybe not today, but later on. I have no doubt about that. I do not care. I have made a pledge to myself in my 50s that much of my personal, individual ambitions and pursuits are behind me. Behind me, do now I want to do in terms of my own private life for my children and in my broader life. For my country and for my God. And that's it. I really don't care, right? You can get caught up about whether people like what you say, don't like what you say, man. Listen, I'm very, very much past that. We need to get it right in the Bahamas, and we have some things we do right. I don't want nobody to sleep. We do some things right in the Bahamas The Bahamas has some great and wonderful things. Some of those things were done by the Pinling administration. Some were done by the Ingram administration. Some were done by the Christie administration. Some were done by the Minnis administration. Some were done by the Davis administration. So I'm not one of them people who can get on any bandwagon talking about, oh, we don't do nothing right. And all these people, they ain't got no sense. And I am not one of them. But I also not going to close my eyes and pretend that some of the things we're doing don't make no sense. Because some of the things we're doing don't make no sense. And having a majority of contract awarded by direct award don't make no sense. They may be legal, but don't make no sense. It's not necessary. And anyone who understands procurement principles, you come and tell me, oh, no, man, under procurement principles, the best thing is for procurement to be by direct awards. I know why they buy direct awards. Because direct awards is the most control that the politicians can have. Let's be clear. Why do you do by direct award? It's the most control politicians can have. If you do competitive bidding, he had to look at everybody's bid. And if somebody's bid is quality and cost efficient, you got to explain why you don't choose that one versus that one. But direct award, I don't really decide amongst anybody. This is my boy, this is my girl, this is my people, this is my... I'm going to give it to them. And that can't be best for the bomb. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
It's back, Agri-Expo 2026, presented by the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, April 10th through 12th at the Gladstone Road Agriculture Center. Agriculture, our heritage, our future, comes alive with the latest farming technologies, exciting cooking demonstrations and competitions, Bahamian farmers and vendors from across the islands, fun for the kids at the Kitty Quarter, nightly musical concerts, and free admission for everyone. Bring the whole family and celebrate what feeds our nation. Agri-Expo 2026. Let's get growing.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivated and producers.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
Ready to talk to someone about your health and receive the personal attention you deserve? Imagine having clear thinking and energy every day. Welcome to New Life, a health store featuring electric cell foods to cleanse and replenish the body, plus an alkaline deli and on-site consultations. New Life, your alternative to disease. Located on East Street South. Visit newlifebahamas.com or call 323-6080 or 1.
Patties, cakes, breads, and pastries. Nothing compares to the original. Yes, at Original Patties Bakery, try the mouth-watering daily specials, jerk chicken and pork every day, chicken and mutton roti weekend specials, beef, chicken, tuna, and vegetable patties, Escovitch fish, Mondays and Wednesdays. Visit Original Patties, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Howard Road, Blue Hill Road location, 6:45 a.m. to 11 p.m. Call 341-1871 or 341-6552. Original Patties Bakery, where quality is always job number one.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call on the show, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us also from the Family Island. Call us also on 325-4259. Or you can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Switching gears a little bit. I read, again, an article in The Guardian pointing out that Haitian National was convicted of having a fake voter's card. It is interesting given what is happening right now, given what the dialogue has been over these several months, years, that right now, in particular the several weeks, that we get a prosecution of someone for voter's card fraud. I did take note of that. I tell you. This Haitian national, how did he get discovered? Now, this Haitian national was deported from the United States of America. So clearly, whatever investigations were done confirmed that. He was then illegally entered the Bahamas. He wasn't detected. He wasn't picked up. But he was able to fabricate a voter's card of the Bahamas, use that voter's card to get a NIB card. And how did he get discovered? He went to the immigration department. Listen to this, folks. You can't dream this stuff up. He, bold as he is, with his fraudulent voter's card, and issued an NIB card, went to the immigration department to check on the status of some Haitians being detained. At which point, someone doing their job looked at his voter's card and thought it was odd. Called the parliamentary commissioner's office, and the parliamentary commissioner's office was able to say, we did not issue any such card. So this wasn't, as people like to say, a legitimately issued card. This was a fabricated card. I don't know how he did it. This is what puzzled me about the article. The article only reported the events of the court and the prosecution, the things that led up to it. But I wondered if they ever asked any further information as to how did this man come to be in possession of a fake voter's card. Now, it wasn't issued by the commissioner, but did he say, well, I stole, or I found, or I made up? Like, how did he do that? How was he able to obtain a card capable of causing NIB to issue him a card? So obviously it was at least good enough for whoever inspected it. How did that happen?
Like, none of that was in the story. And I was like, I was curious. Why? I would have asked that question. That didn't come out in the court. The court filings, the court reporting, none of that came out as to how you did this. How did you do this? The police? Come on, somebody. The police. If you tell us how this is happening, maybe people could be more aware and conscious, because people could be unsuspecting participants in things. How could somebody tell us, how did this man do that? Huh? Listen to me, folks. If I wanted to fabricate a voter's card right now today, I can't even tell you I know how to start that process. First of all, I gotta know what colors all the other cards were issued that are relevant. In this case, I think it's a purple card. So I gotta go find that purple card stock. I'm not saying that's hard, but I gotta find it. And then you all ever look at a voter's card? Have you looked at a voter's card? It ain't simple. It is not. You come from Haiti to USA to Haiti to the Bahamas. Are you do that by yourself? Or did someone help you? None of this is in the reporting. So we have learned no lesson. What lessons do we as a public learn? I don't know. Maybe the police learned something. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang. How you doing now?
I'm right here, man. What's up?
Good, good. The fundamental things that sometimes we may or may not know. Are you aware that in the drug enforcement of United States and many other agencies, they allow, let's say, for instance, they would allow certain things to go past. And then they're going to watch it, and they're building a case that...
That happens in all policing, even in the Bahamas.
Right, right. And that's, I'm trying to tie it into what you were asking in connection with. Mm. The police may be building a case against... They definitely know who they got it from.
But you don't build a case when you then prosecute somebody, man. You just let them go. You just let them keep rolling until you find the big fish.
Well, if that's the case, Mr. Lang, then you need to put down all of any law enforcement agency that is building a case. People are still being prosecuted, but they're still building and retaining information to bring others down.
I hear you, brother. But okay. I know enough to know that it don't work like that when you're trying to catch big fish. You bring them in, you threaten them with prosecution information that might help them catch a bigger fish or bring down the whole network. That's a standard practice. That's not rocket science. They prosecuted this man. He had been prosecuted, sentenced to 1.5 years after that deportation. What did we learn other than that? We have more information. I'm saying the public don't know nothing. We don't know. That's all I'm saying. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon. How you doing?
What's up? Good, man. What's up?
Right now, I listen to you talking about the procurement procedures. Mm-hmm. Help me understand this one. You apply for a contract.
Uh-huh.
You upload your business license and other documents to the procurement site.
Uh-huh.
The deadline passes. The procurement site tells whoever that they only got one bid.
Uh-huh.
And your bid wasn't in it, but they got all your other information.
Mm.
They turn around and send you emails saying that business license, but according to them, you have not applied. You have not applied or tendered for the contract. How does that work?
You ever see those advertisements in the newspaper by jobs of seeing if a Bahamian is qualified for it when they then know they didn't get a job to some foreigner? You ever seen that?
I hear of it.
Okay. Well, sometimes you get up the same thing.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes people already know, the political directorates already know who they're going to get these contracts to.
Yeah. But, you know, as you spoke about this procurement thing and what the whole system is supposed to are supposed to give to the country. Mm-hmm. And how you talk about how much contracts was given. Well, you didn't say how much, but you said the majority should never be. The majority should always be billed. And you know what? You know what it cost me to reflect on? As a young person, just a few years older than you, I have heard all kind of talks about what the Caucasians done to the black people and not giving them opportunities. And then I've heard this from the PLP. And they turned around and did the very same thing the Caucasians did to the black people, they did to the black people who were not their supporters. And then they won't tell me they're not hypocritical and they're the best thing ever happened in the country. How could that be? That don't make no sense. You know, it's like when we were in school, they say, go to school, the sky is the limit, apply yourself, and nothing can stop you. And then you go and you see people get jobs that you may apply for who went to school and didn't apply themselves at all. So how are we going to get this best little country be the best little country when people who don't desire to learn, all they need to do is be connected politically, and they got whatever is there to be given?
Brother, I cannot answer you. You have asked the most and one of the most profound questions in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
So anyway, that's all I'll say. I'll let you have one time.
Thank you, my brother. All appreciate your call. You have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello, good day.
Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Turn your radio down so you don't get the echo, please.
Sorry about that.
Yeah,
no problem. Yeah, so I just feel like this government, they are the most bold, biased government we've ever had, especially with the contracts given out. I mean, like, how can you distribute that much money in a contract and not have it where people can negotiate and you can offer the best or the cheapest offers available? You know what I mean?
Well, that's where the justification comes in, right? So if we could see the justification, maybe there might be a reason for it.
And then my next thing is, why is it so hard this election to register? Like, it's been such dramatic trying to get registered.
Well, it's harder now because so many people are doing it late. But it wasn't hard for people who did it like months ago or last year or something like that. I did it. It wasn't hard for me. So I'm saying it depends on when you're doing it. Anytime you're doing something at the last minute that a lot of people are trying to do, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem, you know? You know, my daughter's in Canada. She registered at the consulate in Canada. There's not a lot of people trying to register, so she was able to do so. And this was only in the last week.
Awesome.
Yeah, So it depends on the circumstances, and right now, in these last minutes, lots of people are trying to do it, and it is a problem. It is definitely a problem.
Again, I'll let you know what's happening with I don't want a story. What's happening with someone I know? They've been married from 1996. They voted a few times, or they went to register to get today, and they were told that they have to go to the general registry building because there's a mix up with their last name, which in their voted a lot of times, and the person is located in the family island, so that means they won't be able to do.
But that could only be a problem if their ID they're presenting has a different name than what is in the register, because if they registered before they got married, and then they got married and their ID is in their married name, that's going to be a problem, because they don't really know if that's the person. So they under those circumstances, they're supposed to bring some additional documents like a marriage certificate and the like.
Yeah, but they voted a few times. All of the documents say that
they voted a few times since they were married.
Yeah, they voted. They voted in every election since 1996.
I don't understand that.
Exactly.
But if they still having the problem, tell them to text me 439-3043. I mean, time is running out, but tell them to text me 439-3043.
Okay, I got you. 439.
Okay. 3043.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, man. This text says, good day, sir. You are spot on. This is not about party, but about accountability. We have to understand that procurement is necessary for good governance and continuity in developing a strong nation.
there will always be some form of corruption in any government, or however, this is one of the checkpoints to eliminate that. Absolutely. Well said. All right. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. And we have some more callers, but we're going to take this quick break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. We'll be back.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Wendy's has brand new chicken tenders, and they're everything you've been craving. Crispy, juicy, and seasoned just right. These tenders bring the flavor from the very first bite. Dip them, dunk them, love them with sauces like sweet chili, scorching hot, ranch, honey barbecue, honey mustard, and Wendy's signature sauce. Grab them as a kid's meal, enjoy them on their own, or make it a combo that hits the spot every time. For tenders you're gonna know by name, it's gotta be Wendy's.
Put more debt consolidation loans. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity debt consolidation loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Flavored Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Flavored Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you
play Island Games,
we putting Bahamian spice, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them mother jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games.
We gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Planning a day at the beach? We supply a wide variety of beach toys, floats, and pails, now at 15% off. Protect your family from the harmful UVA and UVB rays with copper-toned sunblock at special low pricing all summer long. Partying with friends and family? We have you covered with Kingsford charcoal for all your grilling needs. With four convenient locations to serve you at Harbor Bay, Soldier Road, Palmdale, and Southwest Plaza. Happy 42nd Independence, Bahamas, from Lowe's Pharmacy, where we care about your health.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for these remaining moments of the show. So glad you could join us. We have some callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to thank you still, you know, because I'm very ignorant in this model, but, you know, I just innately could discern truth from people. I think the initial part of the show, you had maybe made a numbers relates to, like, how many of the non-bids or, you know, the lack of procurement, right?
Mm.
So, you know, someone texted that corruption is everywhere, et cetera, ubiquitous. But what I mean, Mr. Lang, is, so, I mean, the citizens should just become hopeless and just allow...
No. I think you listened to them wrong. What they were saying was, you in any system, you will always have corruption.
Yes.
But they said one of the ways you try to eliminate it. So they're not saying you should give up and whatever. But it is true. You are going to find corruption.
I agree, but I don't want corruption to get to the state of it, because for me, as I listen to you, then it would be a solution to this problem in which the number of no-bid contracts, for me, then it points to just, it's like curry favoritism. You use a word that I kind of like, I knew what it meant, but I feel like look at it, and really, like you said, patronage, right? And it is scary because it relates to government. And so then I could juxtapose that with loyalty. You see what I'm saying, Mr. Lang? What you mean, no bid, this is freedom? This is so sickening
appreciate if most of your bids are competitive, you will reduce corruption. There's no question about that.
But Mr. Lang, but the thing is, why couldn't there be some guideline as to say you only should be allowed a certain amount of no-bid contracts? You understand me? I just hang up and listen. I just thought that wouldn't make sense.
I got you, brother.
Yeah, respect.
I got you. Thanks a lot. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
Hey, right here, man. What's up?
I think they could do a better job with these contracts, man. Even though they might know who they can give these contracts to, and they can be sizable contracts, man, split it down with 3-4 people. Even if they give their special.
Yeah, that's not always possible because some jobs, a vendor is really, you can't force a vendor who might have a proprietary project or process or who might have a better process to work with somebody else. You can't force that.
Well, I should do a better job with it.
Yeah, I got you, brother. I got you with that. Yeah. We have any other callers on the line? No? All right. So let me finish up with this. I alluded to it earlier, right? But I want to reemphasize this. Those of you who are candidates in the Bahamas, y'all are candidates, man. Upgrade the process. Elevate the process. Show people that you know the job you're applying for. Show people that you are serious about the job you're applying for. Show people that the job you're applying for was so serious that it was placed in the Constitution just below that of citizenship. The job you are applying for is to be a member of Parliament in the House of Assembly. What's the House of Assembly? The House of Assembly is not public works. It's not local government. The House of Assembly is a legislative chamber. That's what it is. Chamber. And if you get enough of you elected, then you get to have your leader form the government, which is then able to go into your constituency and carry out works and do things across the country for the country. Your job is passing laws. I mean, even if you want to talk about your little project feeding people, your little project doing school, after school, this and that, that's fine. A leader should do those kinds of things. But don't let nobody ask you what your job is, and you don't mention first that it is to be a legislator. Don't let me hear none of yours come on these shows and do that no more. Let's elevate. Upgrade. Don't mind. You're a leader. Lead your people, even if they don't know no better. Lead them into better understanding of your system. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Come on, how are you doing, sir?
I'm right here, man. What's up?
Okay, I heard you talk about this fake voter's card.
I talked about a fake voter's card for which somebody was prosecuted.
You fake $100 bill?
Yeah, man.
Okay, who makes them? Central Bank don't issue them, right?
No, Central Bank don't issue fake voter's
card. Same way to make a fake $100 bill? They make a fake voter's card. Thank you.
Oh, of course. My question isn't that you could do it. My question is, how did the person do it? Was the person aided in doing it? Learn that. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about... That's the same thing that happens when you investigate a fake $100 bill. They try to find out who did it, how it was done, and so forth, bro. That's all I'm saying. You don't just sit there and go, yeah, but anybody could fake a thing. And then you just let that go like that. You want to find out what happened, how that happened. And because that helps you to improve your system for prevention. That's the point. Okay? We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. No? Okay. Not another one. Yeah. Yeah. So we want to know. We want to know. So those of you who are candidates, come on, man. Come on. I don't want to hear another... People ask them what the job is, and they start talking about
all they doing this and all they doing that. And then they have a voter. The voters is calling and talk about, oh, my candidate, my member of parliament is doing a good job because this park was fixed and that the paving was road was done. Man, that's all good stuff. But, I mean, are you serious? Elevate your own understanding of what the job is. What can they tell you and give an account to you of the legislation that they have passed in your interest? Can they? Come on, man. Now, Robin Lyons and when she was being interviewed, she talked about, you know, being able to cover legislation that's being presented to Parliament, go to her constituents. That's a woman who understands what job she's applying for. Some of these candidates get on these shows and they don't mention the Parliament one time. They don't mention the House of Assembly one time. They don't mention their work in the House of Assembly one time. How are you going to distinguish yourself from the current member of Parliament? How about when I go inside the House of Assembly, I'm going to be a much more studious. I'm going to be a much more organized. I'm going to be a much more research. I'm going to be a much more intentional legislator than them. Because you can't see in them one thing, one lick they contributed to legislation in the Bahamas other than a vote. How would you say that? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I trust and hope you have a great afternoon. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. He spares life. Be well.